Well, good morning again. I'll invite you to open up your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 this morning. We're going to be reading verses 26 through 40. And I believe that's on page 1705 in the Bibles there in the behind the chairs this morning. Before we begin reading our scripture, as we've been praying this morning, let us pray once again for the Spirit to open our hearts to receive the good news that we have before us this morning in Acts chapter 8. Let's pray this morning together. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the triune God. You are our Creator. You are our Savior, and you are our Helper, our Advocate. We see that in you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we just pray again this morning that your presence will be with us here as well in this sanctuary, that your Spirit's guidance will be within our hearts and minds this morning. May we receive the spiritual nourishment that we need after a week of busyness, Lord, and now in a day of rest and holiness, and then preparing for another week ahead. Provide us with that food that we need that sustains us spiritually. Keep us in step with the Spirit, we pray, O Lord. And be with us now as we read from your word in Acts chapter 8. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll begin reading here in Acts chapter 8 this morning in verse 26, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. Listen to God's word this morning. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture from Isaiah. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' And the eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." This is the word of the Lord this morning. Thanks be to God. Dear people of God, when I read those opening words of our scripture passage this morning. I couldn't help but remember Michael W. Smith. Some of you might remember or know Michael W. Smith as a singer. And he had a song back in the early 90s called "Go West, Young Man." Does anybody remember that song? A little bit. "Go West, Young Man." Well, I remember that song, the lyrics of that song. It would say, "When the evil goes east, go west, young man. Go west, young man." I'm not going to sing it for you because that's not my gift. I'll leave it to you to lead us in that if you want. But go west, young man. Well, I was born and raised in Michigan, and God sort of called me west in a way, too. I went west from Michigan to Wisconsin, where we lived for a couple of years, and then he called us west from there to go out to South Dakota, where we've been the last few years. So God is certainly calling us west, apparently. Who knows what direction we'll go from here? And actually, now we're on our way south. We're going to be heading down to see my wife's folks down in South Carolina after this, so we've got a few days of travel ahead of us. So this is just a small little step in the right direction, shall we say. So we are going to be going south after this. Now that brings us to Philip the evangelist. He received his direction from God, and his direction from God was, in fact, to go south. That was the direction from God. Go south, Philip. Now, to clarify, in case you're wondering this morning, Philip the evangelist is not to be confused with Philip the apostle. This is Philip the evangelist. Acts chapter 6 tells the story of how the 12 apostles chose Philip and six other godly men to take care of the people, such as widows, so that the 12 apostles could take care of prayer and the ministry of the word. Then it says in Acts chapter 8, after the stoning of Philip, or after the stoning of Stephen, another one of the seven, persecution in the church began, and all except the apostles were scattered in Judea and Samaria. And in addition, it says those who had been scattered, that's the seven men who were chosen, they preached the word wherever they went. So in a sense, they became the sent ones. The apostles were staying behind, and these six that were chosen were scattered after the stoning of Stephen and the persecution in the church began. So Philip, he went to Samaria, preaching the good news. And eventually, he encounters here, in Acts chapter 8 as it's recorded, he encounters this Ethiopian, and he shares the good news with him as well. Well, what we see in Philip this morning, what we see in Philip is the heart of an evangelist. The heart of an evangelist after God's own heart. So we see in Philip the heart of an evangelist after God's own heart. And the heart of an evangelist is to be seeking God's own heart over her or his heart's leading, which will lead to doing God's will, essentially, wherever that may lead and to whomever that might lead you to go. May his will be done, not mine. Says the evangelist after God's own heart. May his will be done, not mine. Now, God had commanded Philip through an angel of the Lord to go south toward a road that was apparently in a largely uninhabited region, a desert type of area. And this was a road that connected Jerusalem to Gaza. Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, I don't want you to get the story wrong this morning. Don't get the story wrong. It's not that Philip had nothing better to do. As if Philip was just sitting around twiddling his thumbs, and God decided to send him on a little mission. Philip was actually busy, very busy, working for God, sharing the good news of Jesus with plenty of people. And there was great joy in Samaria, of all places, as Philip proclaimed the truth of God's word there. And he did that in Greek. He was a Greek-speaking disciple of Jesus. And this was important because the work that God had planned for Philip was to share the good news outside of a Aramaic-speaking territory. Now, you might recall hearing in the Gospels a little bit about Samaria. Samaria was not the first place you might expect God to even send Philip. Samaria was a place where a mix of Jew and Gentile lived. One author noted that the Samaritans were remnants of the 10 northern tribes of Israel. You remember there was the northern kingdom and there was the southern kingdom. Also, the people living in Samaria were mostly rejected by the Jews. However, crowds of people witnessed Philip's teaching, his preaching, and his work in the power and name of Jesus Christ. And so God calling Philip the evangelist away from this successful ministry in front of people in Samaria, only to travel down this lonely road in search of who knows what. It seems unexpected, even and surprising in a way. Why would God do that? I thought it would be like God having called Billy Graham away from his successful evangelistic ministry here in the United States in front of millions of people, only to travel down some lonely back road somewhere in the United States, maybe in the desert, in search of who knows what. But if he was to hear the call when he was alive to go wherever it might be, that's what it would be like, having a successful ministry and God saying, go this direction instead. Well, it's almost unimaginable how God works sometimes. It really is. Again, why does God call one of his first evangelists, one commissioned by the 12 apostles along with Stephen, away from many, many people to share the good news of Jesus with just one person? One person. An Ethiopian eunuch on his way home from Jerusalem. He was on his way home from worshiping God in Jerusalem. Now, bear in mind this morning, one other little tidbit here. Ethiopia is a long way from Jerusalem. We talked a little bit this morning about maps. When you look on a map, Ethiopia, actually by Google, it would take 5 days, 10 hours to get from Jerusalem to Ethiopia today. Now imagine back then. That would have taken a really long time. That's a lot longer than we have to go in a few days. So this man was a long way from home. Now, maybe the story of the lost sheep comes to mind, where God cares about finding that one lost sheep out of 100. This Ethiopian eunuch was really a lost sheep that God cared about. He was a lost sheep that God cared about, and God sent Philip the evangelist to share the good news of Jesus Christ with this man. Listen to what one author says about this man. Traveling along the road is a distinguished African. Ethiopia is in Africa. It says he is the chancellor or treasurer to the Candace, the queen mother of Ethiopia. This man is almost certainly a black Ethiopian, and he may also be a Jew. He is returning from a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, sitting in his chariot and reading from a scroll of Isaiah's prophecy. This is the individual that God sends his evangelist, Philip, to find on a road going to the south, the road that travels from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, Philip, who had been directed by an angel of the Lord to walk this road, is next directed, you'll see, by the Holy Spirit. This is Trinity Sunday, where last week we had Pentecost and we acknowledged the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit directs Philip to approach the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip hears this man reading from Scripture, and he knows in his heart that God has led him here specifically to approach this chariot and this man. And now, even though the eunuch has been to Jerusalem to worship God, it is believed that this wealthy man from Africa was not necessarily a convert or a new believer. However, the Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot was reading words of God's prophet Isaiah out loud. And Philip approaches the chariot, and he asks the Ethiopian, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the eunuch replies, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" And then that Ethiopian, he invites Philip to come up into the chariot with him, to sit with him, and to explain the scriptures that he's reading. What an opportunity here for Philip the evangelist. An opportunity not to be wasted. Starting right where this Ethiopian eunuch was at, physically and spiritually. Where he was at in terms of physical geography and also really spiritual geography, where he was at in his heart. Philip starts right there with the Ethiopian, and he walks through the good news of Jesus Christ. He shares the gospel with the Ethiopian, seeking God and the truth in his word is the most important thing to be sought in this life. It is truly a priceless gem among many worthless stones. It is a priceless gem. So Philip explained the scriptures to this man, just like Jesus opened the scriptures for his disciples before and after his resurrection. Philip dove right into the prophet Isaiah, the word of God. He knew exactly how for centuries the ancient words of Isaiah, they pointed to the coming of the Messiah, the Savior of God's people, the suffering servant. Well, God in his providence, his foreknowledge, he had prepared this Ethiopian eunuch to hear the good news of Jesus that Isaiah's words pointed to. God in his providence had prepared this man to receive what all the money in the world can't buy. Remember, he was a wealthy man. But God had prepared him to receive what all the money in the world can't buy, and that was forgiveness of sins, redemption, being bought back, reconciliation, brought back into a right relationship with God, promise of resurrection, receiving a new body, eternal life, new life now and forever. God stirred up belief in the Ethiopian's heart, and he believed in salvation through Christ alone for the first time. He encountered Christ, and he received Christ. And then Scripture says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Now, in some Bibles, there is a note about verse 37 that I guess wasn't included in the original manuscripts. But apparently, Philip had said to this Ethiopian, "If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized." Then the eunuch professed his faith with his mouth, saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That is beautiful. he professed his faith in Jesus Christ. And so Philip, he didn't hesitate at all to take this new believer down into the water and to baptize him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He baptized him. And remember that story of the lost sheep? Again, God cares about this lost sheep, this Ethiopian eunuch. Well, now God's lost sheep was found, and he was part of the fold, the family of God. All because Philip the evangelist listened to the angel of the Lord and went south. All because Philip followed the lead of the Holy Spirit and approached the chariot and the man sitting in the chariot. All because Philip sat up in that chariot with him and opened the scriptures and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And all because Philip didn't hesitate to take this new believer and baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What a great story this is, Philip and the Ethiopian. Well, what happened next in this story was an absolute miracle when we read about this. It's like a scene from one of the Harry Potter books where the characters travel from one place to the next through this magical form of transportation called apparition. Our text says that Philip was taken away by the Spirit of the Lord. Philip was then taken away by the Spirit of the Lord, and he was brought by God to Azotus, another place, where he appeared, and then he continued on his ministry. So he had done everything that the Lord had asked of him, and now that mission was complete. Mission accomplished. And then right before the eunuch's eyes, the Spirit takes Philip away and then somehow brings him to this other place to continue on his ministry. And then we read that the Ethiopian, after encountering again Jesus Christ through this evangelist, the Ethiopian eunuch, he too went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. So this morning, notice that the work continues for Philip the evangelist. The work continues for him. It's like the shepherds. You know, when they went to see baby Jesus, and they saw baby Jesus, and then they returned home from there, glorifying and praising God. They went on to be shepherds again, sharing all that they had seen and heard, seeing that everything was exactly as they had been told. They returned to their daily life, but they had been changed. This is the case for Philip the evangelist and even the Ethiopian eunuch. We don't read any more about the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts, but we know that from there he probably continued on his way back home. Again, that long journey back home. But he was a believer now. Who knows? Maybe he shared the good news of Jesus Christ with someone else on the way home that very much needed to hear the good news. He probably went home and had a new purpose in life. He was a wealthy man. Maybe how he handled his wealth now. Maybe how he served the queen. He was a changed man, and so it would have changed his life. Christ encounters are certainly powerful, they're real, they're life-changing. Not only for an evangelist, one who shares the good news like Philip, but also for someone like the Ethiopian eunuch who hears and receives the good news. There's that saying where being a blessing to others is also a blessing for that person. Often the person blessing another is blessed even more. What a beautiful exchange takes place. Well, God's work is clearly seen in this story of Philip and the Ethiopian. God puts all of the pieces together for this encounter. This wasn't a chance encounter. This was a divinely planned encounter from beginning to end. From the road that the angel of the Lord directed Philip to the chariot the Ethiopian was riding in, from the scriptures the Ethiopian was reading, to the water Philip baptized the eunuch in, God's hand is clearly seen in this great story of God using one man to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to another. The broader application of this story, Acts chapter 8 within Acts, is that we see God growing his church. God is growing his church. If you step back to the Gospel of Luke and the Acts and see how they're connected together, Luke is about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, and Acts is about the life and ministry of the church. And here's the connection. Jesus gave up his earthly body to give birth to this church, a spiritual body on earth. So there is a connection there. A continuation, if you will, of the story. It doesn't end with the gospel. God sent Jesus to save us. We know that for sure. We believe that. We read John 3:16 and 17 this morning, or heard that. We know the story of salvation, Jesus' incarnation, his baptism, his life and ministry, his sacrifice, his resurrection, his ascension, and then his promised second coming. Well, not only did God send his son Jesus to save us, but God also sent his Holy Spirit to help us and to transform us, right? To grow this church, this spiritual body on earth. So a narrower application of Acts chapter 8 is this: God grows the church through evangelists after God's own heart. God grows the church through evangelists like Peter, or I'm sorry, like Philip, and many others since then who are after God's own heart. More specifically, through evangelists who are led by the Holy Spirit, who follow the Spirit's leading, and they go west, they go north, they go south, they go east, maybe even just right where they are. Somebody just standing right in front of them that God says, this is the person that you need to share the good news of Jesus with. That's how God works. The heart of sharing the good news of Jesus is just to listen for God's voice, to go where he leads, to follow his nudge to share the good news with Jesus with someone, maybe today, maybe someone different than yourself, somebody that's from a different walk of life than you've walked, just like this Ethiopian eunuch was for Philip. Two completely different people, and God orchestrated this encounter. God will certainly use you to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Sit with those who want to understand the scriptures. Maybe over coffee or dinner or whatever the case might be. Open the scriptures just to begin sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. You never know where the encounter might lead for you and for the person that you're sharing the good news with. It might lead to someone else being baptized and professing their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, that is the good news this morning. So remember, like Philip, the heart of an evangelist is a person after God's own heart. May you be an evangelist, one who shares the good news this morning, one who lives out the gospel in all that you think, say, and do, and then you will be an evangelist after God's own heart. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your work in orchestrating our lives, how you are in control of everything, Lord. But we thank you also for the freedom to be who you created us to be. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, O Lord, that transforms us daily and continues to mold and shape us into the person who you created us to be. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the promise of eternal life through Jesus' resurrection. And we thank you for your sovereignty evidenced in the ascended King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the promise of a new heaven and a new earth one day, when Jesus comes back again. And you will dwell among us. That Garden of Eden and paradise picture will be restored. Lord, that is such a blessing, that good news there that should fill us all with hope this morning and joy and peace and utter contentment. We just pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.